just never seem to know what you're going to get from the Tennessee Titans these days. So much optimism generated from the victory over the Atlanta Falcons, some of which was expressed right here in this format, vanished in a 20-16 defeat to the Pittsburgh Steelers, a game that was very much winnable right up until the final minute when Will Levis threw his first career interception. But speaking of Will Levis, what is certain is that the rookie will be the Titans' starting quarterback so long as he is upright and able for the remainder of this season. Mike Vrabel wasted no time in making that news public this week. He met with Levis and with Ryan Tannehill on Monday, let them each know the deal, and preparations for this week's game at Tampa Bay began Wednesday with Levis running the first team offense and Tannehill, as he said, working through the process of being the backup. Titans are now 3-5 as they come off a long break, of course, having played on a Thursday night in Pittsburgh, but another road game at hand, another road game after that, which, as we have discussed here, is not necessarily a good thing for this team. But let's get into what all has transpired here of late in this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast with the old standbys, former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you, sir?
I'm doing amazing, David. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great, thank you. I am David Beauclair, and then, of course, we have John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
Doing well. Hope you guys are.
All right, let's get right to it. Denard, did Mike Vrabel make the right call in saying it's time to go with Will Levis and turn the page? You know, the future is now, so to speak.
I think he made the right decision. It just seemed like the last two games, this offense, I mean, they've been clicking. I know they just scored 16 points Thursday night, but it just seems like he adds a different dimension to that offensive unit. I love the way that he played Thursday. I mean, we talk about the pick at the end to Mr. LSU, Kwame Alexander. I'm not going to, you know, but I tell you what, he's playing like a mature veteran. And what this means, this move, is just a changing of the guard. We saw this in 2019. We referenced this last week. You talk about Marcus Mariota in 2019 was really supposed to be the franchise quarterback. He was supposed to be playing the other night. Unfortunately, it was a turn of the tide. And we saw a player by the name of Ryan Tannehill. Miami ran out. Tennessee traded for him. They got a steal. And so now you see another changing of the guard where Ron is handing over the throne. Now, I wouldn't say handing over, but you see a young, vibrant 24-year-old that, to me, the way that he's playing right now, he looks like a star in the making.
John, as you look at this sort of thing, what do you think really moved the needle, swayed the powers that be in this franchise to make this choice and make it so clearly and definitively? You know, there was no throughout this week, well, we're going to let them both practice, we'll see how the week goes, you know, as we have seen in other circumstances from Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I think it was a little surprising from the fact that Mike Vrabel, you know, for a week or so, he kind of went through that, you know, we'll let you know who's the starter when we know how healthy Ryan Tannehill is. So that was a little, you know, head scratching, because clearly you can just say, even when Ryan Tannehill is healthy, he is either A, going to be our starter, or B, he's not. But yeah, he came right out this week. I think he was probably a little bit tired of hearing 8,000 questions about it, probably a little tired of it potentially being a distraction, not only to him, but for the team as well. And kind of felt like it was time to make a move there. But I think what went into it, you know, to me, a couple things at least, the spark that he had given that offense, you know, how long have the Titans been looking for more X plays, you know, more of a vertical threat in the passing game, and in a small sample size, granted, that's what we've seen from Will Levis. We saw obviously the four touchdown passes, three long ones against Atlanta. Even though he didn't throw a touchdown pass in the game against Pittsburgh, still had the most passing yards of any Titan quarterback this season. Granted, that's only 262, but still. And then he also, talk about big chunk plays. He had seven completions better than 20 yards downfield in that game. So those are the kinds of the things I think that Mike Vrabel wants to really dig into, capitalize, instead of having to drive, say 70 yards in 15 plays. Hey, maybe a 6-play drive or a 5-play drive every now and then is a little bit better bet. And then I think also too, look where they are. I mean, they're 3-5 right now. You have to be thinking at least, I think, as much about the future as you are at the present. The present is not a good situation. If they're 5-3 and Tannehill is putting up the kind of numbers we've seen in the past, obviously I don't think there's a change here. I think you stick with Tannehill. But they're not. They're struggling as a team. Ryan Tannehill's numbers were not very good. So I think given those circumstances, boom, hey, it's a perfect situation to put in your talented rookie who got a two-game audition because of Ryan's injury anyway, and heck, he won the audition. He's your guy. Time to go with the kid.
Yeah, I'm surprised given what Tannehill has done for this team and how important he's been that it was so definitive. I sort of said this last week. I still felt like going into this week that if there was going to be a decision, it was going to be if it would be at best maybe. We're going to go with Levis as long as he continues to play well and give Ryan time enough to get as healthy as he can possibly be, assuming that at some point the rookie was gonna have some bumps and you leave the door open for Tannehill to get back in there. But for it to be this decisive, I think one, it does speak to that position though. I think Mike Vrabel showed in 2019 he has a good feel for and a good understanding of what it means to make a change at quarterback, and I don't, and I guess probably it's best that you don't do it halfway. If you're going to do it, you just do it. And two, the interesting thing to me, John, you talked about the chunk plays that Levis has delivered, and I almost feel like Ryan Tannehill's experience worked against him in this regard. He's been in the league a long time. We have seen him, how effective he can be with his pre-snap reads and how quickly he can decipher a defense nowadays. And when you're playing behind an offensive line that has had its struggles, there's no secret there. Tannehill's taken his hits this year. I think you've got an offensive coordinator and a head coach who clearly want to push the ball down the field, but I think Tannehill was almost too good at knowing what the defense was doing and making quick reads, trying to avoid getting hit every time he drops back there. I mean, you just look at his pass attempts this year, and more than 58%, close to 60% of his throws have come in under 2.5 seconds, whereas Levis in two games so far has only gone 45% of his throws have come in under 2.5 seconds. There's been 55% that have taken 2.5 or longer, one, I'm sure he's a rookie. He doesn't see things as quickly, but he also has shown a willingness. I think maybe ignorance is bliss in this regard. I mean, if he understands that, okay, this play is designed to push the ball downfield, I'm going to stand in here regardless of whatever happens with the rush. I'm going to stand in here as long as I can and try and get the ball downfield. Where again, I think Tannehill was more likely to say, you know what? The rush is coming. I see what's going on here. I'm going to have this guy open right here. I'm going to get the ball to him. We're going to live to fight another day. And that's that's just not what these coaches, what this offense is designed to do right now. So his experience, I think, will be invaluable, assuming that he mentors Levis and works with him, which there's every indication he's going to do that. But in terms of why he's in the situation he is. I think maybe his experience did him in a little bit. And I guess the question has to be asked, Denard, outside of injury, do you see any scenario that Tannehill gets back in there this year?
Yeah, because you got a long season ahead of you. I mean, we know that injuries are inevitable in this league, and David, right now it's still early in the season. Right now we're at the midpoint, so I mean, this is only his second game. I mean, I know right now he's been playing well, but things are subject to change in this league at any time. So right now he's got a tough 2-game stretch. You're talking about 2 games away from home. You got to go to Tampa this week, and then you got to travel down to Jacksonville, and that's not an easy place to play considering the way that that team has been playing. So he's got 2 tough games, so anything can change. So I'm not really ready to give him the keys and say, "Huh, this is all yours." But you do get behind him and say, "Right now, we're gonna roll with you, and we're gonna get behind you, and we're going to support you." And that's what this team is doing in this organization.
John, assuming Levis makes it through to the end of the season, stays healthy, gets all the experience they want him to get, what put a bow on Ryan Tannehill's Titans career for us. How would you describe it briefly? How successful do you think he has been?
Say it's been, certainly, fans are more prone, I think, to remember, games like the Cincinnati playoff game, for instance, the AFC Championship, and so far, those sometimes that stands out a lot for fans. But if you look at the big picture, boy, I think good to very good, describes Ryan Tannehill's legacy here right now. I mean, 38-23 winning record, almost 14,000 passing yards, 91 touchdowns to 39 picks, and a 98 quarterback rating at this point. That's pretty good. You throw in a few more. Three straight playoff berths under Tannehill, two back-to-back AFC South titles, a trip to the AFC Championship game. And maybe when you look back at it, probably very likely, his most impressive accomplishment was what he did in 2019 when he first came in to replace Marcus Mariota. Had just obviously been with the team for a few months since getting traded from Miami. He goes 7-3 in his 10 starts after getting thrown in there. After the def after the offense had looked horrible in the the last few games under Marcus, he came in, turned everything around, led the NFL that year, quarterback rating 117.5 and yards per completion of 13.6, kind of a rare combination. And you win two playoff games that year in New England and Baltimore, but before falling, to Kansas City. So I think, obviously behind Steve McNair's longevity and overall production, leadership, et cetera, I think easily Ryan Tannehill comes in number two in terms of Titans quarterbacks. I put him ahead of Marcus Mariota. I'm trying to look here also. Yeah, I think one other number that stood out to me when I was looking back through Ryan's stats is 63 games, 14 game-winning drives during that. That's a pretty good percentage, a pretty good ratio in a relatively small amount of time. I compared that to Steve McNair. Steve had 18 game-winning drives in 139 games, so big difference there. But I think overall, if I'm putting a bow on this for Ryan Tannehill, everything from his professionalism, his quick learning ability, his leadership, and for the most part, his production, I give him pretty good grades.
Yeah, this is fascinating to me. I looked this up today. This is if Tannehill does not play another game for the Titans,
I know where you're going on this.
this might be shocking to some people. If he does not play another game for the Titans, he will have finished with the exact same number of games played and the exact same number of starts as Marcus Mariota, the guy who he replaced 6 games into the 2019 season. And statistically speaking, the difference between the two of them is not as massive as I think most people would think. I mean, you're talking about a difference of just 73 more completions for Tannehill in just what is it, 16 more attempts. So the completion percentage is a difference of 66.4 to 62.9. Fewer than 1,000 passing yards separate the two of them. You know, Tannehill won two playoff games, and quite honestly, he didn't have to do a whole lot more than hand off to Derrick Henry in those two wins. You know, Mariota won one playoff game, making one of the more memorable playoff games or plays in Titans playoff history when he completed a touchdown pass to himself. You know, the big difference, obviously, overall was the record with Tannehill. Right now, he's 38-23, which is 15 games above 500. Mariota's 29-32, 3 games below 500. Of course, you know, Mariota came into a much worse situation than Tannehill did. So I was stunned when I looked at that and saw just how really comparable those numbers are, and it shows you just what a fine line there is between winning and losing in the NFL. Because I think you know, I think if you would ask anybody without looking at the numbers, who was the better quarterback of the two, I would think virtually everybody would think Ryan Tannehill by a wide margin, and that's just not the case. But you know, we'll see. The Titans actually, by the end of 2019, had put some packages together for Marcus Mariota and got him on the field a couple times late in the year. So we'll see. You know, I assume we've all seen the meme where, you know, it shows a picture of Mike Vrabel talking to Ryan Tannehill, then, and it says, "You played some wide receiver in college, didn't you?" You know, like there certainly Tannehill's a good enough athlete that you can find some things to do with him if you want. And I think the big question will be this. I would assume there, you know, Mike Vrabel was asked about this on Wednesday, about two or three quarterbacks active, particularly this week, while you're still trying to figure out how healthy Tannehill is. And he said, "We'll see." You know, we all know it was clear from the Atlanta game there are some packages in for Malik Willis. Do you do things with three different quarterbacks during the course of a game as you go forward? I think that bears watching too. But we talked about the offensive line a little bit, and the fact that it is exposing the quarterbacks to some hits. And the news this week involving the line is even worse in some ways. The first practice or injury report of the week came out on Wednesday. Nicholas Petit-Frere did not practice with a shoulder injury. Paul Kuharsky has reported that he will undergo surgery and miss a period of weeks. Right guard Daniel Brunskill did not practice with an ankle injury that he sustained at Pittsburgh. Chris Hubbard, the right tackle, is trying to make his way back from the concussion that he sustained the week before. He was limited, so I guess the, you know, the evaluation of how he handles the physical activity will be critical. So you're talking about maybe three guys who were starters, have been starters, maybe not available for this offensive line in Tampa Bay, which has a pretty talented defense at spots, right? Denard, I mean, how much does Tampa challenge an offensive line anyway? How big an order might this be for some backups this week?
Well, they was already struggling before. So when you're talking about it getting worse, and you're talking about the strength of Tampa's team, it's their defensive line, their interior line. Their Achilles heel really is their secondary. And so when you look at players like Kancey, and we know about Vita Vea, he's been a fixture in this league for a long time, and he's a Pro Bowl player, and he's capable of changing the game around. Logan Hall, and then you know their linebacker core, Devin White, Lavonte David. You know, you got to watch those two, especially the way that they blitz. So, I mean, you're talking about now you got three starters that are what banged up, or one or two potentially might not be available Sunday. It could be a long day for Will. So again, and how many sacks did they took Thursday night? Was it four sacks?
Yes.
It was four. So
Was it four? I thought it was just two.
I thought it was, Let's look real quickly.
So they gave up four. That's what one of the things I read, but it could be wrong. Anything over anything,
It's just two.
just two.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I'd rather keep it like that. But I mean,
No,
they're gonna have their play full Sunday because
John, it was four
it
sacks
was
Sunday.
four. Yeah, it was four. I counted four.
Maybe it would help if I was not looking at the Atlanta game.
Yeah, that's okay. Don't look at that game. Let's get away from that one. But yeah, this is gonna be a tough day. I promise you, if this team go in that game and you're talking about Bron Skills banged up, Hubbard again in concussion protocol. So again, I know you when you informed me earlier, you wanted to talk about Andre Dillard. That's gonna be a key matchup Sunday. So this team might be in trouble if they're banged up on the offensive line Sunday.
I was going to say, John, coaches have tried to go away from Andre Dillard. Two games ago in Atlanta, Nicholas Petit-Frere starts at the left tackle spot. That's the game where Hubbard gets the concussion, has to come out. Petit-Frere slides over. Dillard's back in at left tackle. We've seen Dylan Radins play a little bit at that spot this year too. We've also seen Radins play guard, specifically left guard. Presumably, if Brunskill can't go, maybe Radins goes there. But if Brunskill can go, should Dylan Radins get a look at left tackle now ahead of Andre Dillard, or is this just a situation you think where Titans coaches have no choice? They got to continue to ride with Dillard at this point, who, oh, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, has given up the most sacks and pressures of any offensive lineman in the league to this point.
He has indeed. Eight sacks and 34 pressures, both league leading numbers for Andre Dillard. And it's sort of like, to me, it's very much like last year when the Titans were trying to get by with Dennis Daly at left tackle and would not, under any circumstances, give Dylan Radins, a guy who played left tackle all through college. Granted, he didn't start well at right tackle when they gave him that chance, but you wondered what it would take, how bad the left tackle would have to be in order for them to give Dylan Radins a chance, and here we're kind of seeing it again, in my opinion. Now, kudos to Mike Vrabel. He at least pulled Dillard and said, okay, NPF, we're switching you over to left. So he at least made a move this year, but that. Certainly is off the board now with MPF's injury. So again, I say, how bad does maybe Dillard have to be before you say, okay, Dylan, hey, it's a pretty low bar out there. If you don't give up about, one or two sacks a game, you're doing better than the other guy. So to me, I think at some point, maybe you have to at least try that because your other options, the way I see it, it's not going to be Jalen Duncan, the rookie, the sixth round pick. He's kind of a project. He's been inactive most of the time. You're not going to roll him out there as your starting left tackle. And Peter Skoronski, a lot of people are saying, hey, give him a shot at left tackle. They might not now, probably not this season because Peter Skoronski has been playing guard all offseason, through his first half of his rookie season. I don't think they want to move him at this point, but I wonder if next off season, given the problems at left tackle, whether they give that a shot. I mean, he was an All-American left tackle. That's all he did in college was play left tackle. But as for this week, early indications seem to be that Dillard is getting rolled back out there again. And I just sort of scratch my head and say, what do they think Dylan Radins would do? How bad? Would Dylan Radins perform that they just can't seem to stomach the thought of putting him out there at a guy who is performing very poorly in terms of pass protection anyway?
Yeah, and I mean, say this about Radins. He's been an easy target for us and for a lot of other folks for pretty much all of his time in the league to this point. But he has surprised us when he has gotten thrown into the mix. And you can go back specifically, and it for the purposes of this discussion, to that 2021 game late in the year against the San Francisco 49ers. Taylor Lewan got hurt again. Raiden started at left tackle in that game, and the Titans beat the 49ers 20-17. Now, Ryan Tannehill was sacked four times in that game, and he completed 22 passes for only 209 yards. I mean, clearly the idea that night was get the ball out of his hands quickly, short throws, and keep the ball moving down the field. But he did hook up with AJ Brown on some big plays in that one. And eventually Brown was the guy who took over that game and had a huge night with 11 catches for 145 yards and a touchdown. And that was with Dylan Raiden's blocking at left tackle. I mean, I get it. There's a lot about him that concerns you, and you haven't always seen good things, but he is a guy who has surprised fans and coaches and probably his teammates to some degree at times. And that was a perfect example that night. I would suspect, again, one way or another, Raiden's is playing in this game, whether it's for Brunskill or whether it's for Dillard, or it maybe and if maybe Brunskill and Dillard and Hubbard all start, then maybe Raiden's comes in at some point. I would think they'd have a fairly short leash again with Dillard at this point, but we'll see. The fact that Dylan Raiden's is still on the roster suggests that there are some things that they like about him, and they see some value. I mean, they haven't just flat out given up on him to this point. So, I agree. It's hard to imagine he could be significantly worse than Dillard to this point.
Exactly. And then we know, the problem, is just certainly the pass blocking is more the concern, coming from Dylan Raiden's background, at North Dakota State there, North or South? All of a sudden I'm drawing a blank
North
here.
Dakota State.
He's north,
Okay.
yeah.
Yeah. It was, certainly not like a pro style game, and he got much more of a background experience in the run game. So that is his strength. And I'm sure what they're a little nervous about is his pass pro ability. But again, when he's gone in there, he's done well enough. I think in the either last game, I guess it was last game, I think he had one of, if not the highest PFF rating for the Titans on offense. So he's doing some things well. Mike Vrabel acknowledged today that, hey, when he keeps his feet under him, when he stays on balance and so forth, he does do a pretty good job for us. So hey, turns out the guy was a second round pick. Might be, might be time to give him another shot.
Indeed. Going back to the injury report, Azeez Al-Shaair did not practice Wednesday. Treylon Burks is dealing with a concussion and did not practice again. I would assume we won't see Burks for this game, maybe not the Jacksonville game as well. And cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting didn't practice with a thumb injury. Denard, I gotta ask, as a cornerback, is a thumb injury a big deal? I mean, you can still knock a pass down if maybe you can't catch it, right, at some point, or is that the most painful thing you can imagine? Get it, a broken thumb and trying to knock down a pass that's being zipped in and like on an out route or something like that.
Is it a broken thumb?
Well, I don't know if it's broken or not, but
Well,
it's a thumb injury. I mean, if he's
it's
not practicing, I would assume it's a significant, maybe a ligament tear or something, whatever it
yeah,
is.
or a sprain, which is
Yeah.
almost, yeah, it's equivalent. But well, yeah, it can hinder you from jamming a guy because if that thumb, if that thumb is sprained, you've got a sprained thumb, what happens is it's very sensitive. And sometimes when you just touch that thing, it's like an AC joint where you've kind of bruised it. You can just touch it sometimes, and it's very tender. So yeah, it kind of will hinder you from jamming. And we haven't seen Tennessee jam a lot of receivers this season. So again, that might play to their favor. But yeah, I don't think it's anything that I would be worried about. I think you will see him Sunday, especially he's going back to Tampa. Yeah, he's not going to miss this game. He's not going to miss this game, I promise you.
Good point.
What about?
Yeah, go
I
ahead,
was
Joe.
just going to say, yeah, Denard, what about? I would have to assume if it's a significant enough thumb injury, though, like tackling, I'm sure, is no fun when you're trying to grip or, pull guys down, especially if it's after a completion, too, right? Does that pose a pretty significant problem?
Yeah, it's a nagging injury, but you know what? They have some good medicine for it. They'll actually shoot it up before game time, and that'll help. And that will not wear off until after the game. I've had that. I had a infected nail one time, and that thing hurt. And I've also sprained my thumb. So it's just a nagging injury. It's just like a sprained ankle. That it's you know what? You just kind of shoot it up and you just play it out. But I don't see this would hinder him, should hinder his performance Sunday in Tampa.
I mean, the only thing I guess would be if it's something that was severe enough that required
Surgery.
surgery, that like they put some hardware in there or whatever, that then he wouldn't be able to go. But you're right, going back to Tampa, this is a game that he's been really
Okay.
looking forward to. John, we have talked about it at times. Treylon Burks, the great touchdown catch at Philadelphia last year, the cheap shot that left him with a concussion there. This is a second concussion now. We all saw Thursday night in Pittsburgh. He comes down on his back, his head snaps down, ended up being carted off the field in that game. Two concussions in less than a year. Is this becoming a big problem for Treylon Burks, do you think?
I think that is the concussions are, yes, I would agree with you there. And I think just, the fact that one nagging injury or issue after another seems to keep popping up for him. I want to say he's probably played in, kind of just over half of his of the games right now in the first 2 years. And obviously the only way you're going to get better is through all kinds of practice reps. All kinds of game reps, and he's just not getting them right now. And these haven't been the kind of injuries that Mike Vrabel seems to get so bothered by, the soft tissue injuries, stuff like hamstring and groin and things like that. I mean, they're legit tough injuries, like the concussions on those hits. He had the knee situation occur this year up in Minnesota. He had the turf toe last year in Indy that kept him out for a few weeks. So, I don't think anyone is suggesting that Treylon Burks is soft or anything like that by any stretch. But there are some players, for whatever reason, that just do end up getting injured, it seems like, more often than other players. And right now, that's kind of the scenario that's going on with Treylon Burks. He's just never in a long stretch of games where he can ramp up and improve and get better and so forth. He's constantly nicked up or seriously injured, one thing after another there. So yeah, it's a different difficult road right now for Treylon Burks.
Denard, how frustrated do you imagine he is on a scale of 1 to 10? Is it a 50 at this point?
It's probably 100 right now, especially when you see how this receiving core they've been playing. And you're talking about since Will has been implemented into the quarterback position, this receiving core, they've gotten better. You're talking about the chemistry with D Hop. I mean, look at the last two games, was 8 catches, 188 yards, 3 touchdowns. We've watched over the last 2 weeks, Kyle Phillips. We were very critical of this play because of his inability to stay on the field this season, and he's been cranking it up. It looks like the Kyle Phillips that I saw Thursday night, that looked like the same Kyle Phillips back in 2021 against LSU down in the Rose Bowl. I mean, he's looking great. So if you're Treylon Burks, you see NWI made a key catch the other night on a pivotal down. I mean, when the Titans needed it. And so and we saw Chris Moore. I mean, they're putting him, they're giving him a little bit more. So this receiving core is getting better, but they were without their best player, and that's Treylon Burks. And we talked about all offseason how, it looked like he's gotten acclimated to the air in Nashville, how he looks smooth throughout camp. And now it just seemed like boom. I mean, he's just been hit with that injury bug, and that was something that we worried about because of what happened last year with the concussion and down in Philly when he got knocked out. So again, this is, I mean, it's hard on him because it's not like when you get knocked out or you get a concussion. I mean, that's a blow to your head, and that's serious, David. Because if you get one more, I'm pretty sure Lee Protocol is going to have to step in then. And they're going to have to make a ruling because what is it like about two concussions in the last 2 years? That's serious, David.
Yeah. And you know, back when you played, it was almost like a badge of honor. You know, oh, I've had seven concussions. I've had, you know, like guys talk, you know, everything we know about concussions now. I mean, one more, and I would think Treylon Burks has to start thinking about retirement
You
because
do.
of the effect, you know, potential effect on the rest of his life. So, you know, and this. You know, you used to classify them too as, you know, mild or severe or whatever. Like this, I'm certain this one would not be considered mild when you look at the way he hit the ground and everything that transpired immediately after that, with how careful they were with getting him off the field and what have you. So,
And
you
I think apparently, just for a few seconds anyway, we blacked out. I think he was
know.
unconscious briefly too. So.
So that, I mean, that, yeah, there's nothing good about this situation for Treylon Burks, other than, you know, you would assume that the medical team is going to give him all the time he needs to get healthy, and the concussion protocol is in place, so they'll measure him against the baseline, and when he's ready, they'll go again. But here we go. Titans are going on the road again. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to come right out and say it as we wrap this thing up. And I think I said it last week. Until I see this team win a game outside of Nissan Stadium, you know, I'm just not going to believe it right now. So I'm going to say, even with all the excitement over Will Levis and, you know, the futures now kind of thing, Titans are going down to Tampa and coming home with a defeat. John Glennon, do you see any reason that I'm going to be wrong?
I completely respect your theory, and I should probably go along with it, but I'm going with the it has to happen sometime
Oh.
theory this week. They have to get a victory away from Nissan at some point. They've been close in four of the five. Four of the five have been one score games. Only Cleveland was the as Mike Vrabel referred to it today, the turd. That was the one that they really stunk it up. But you know, I do see some signs. You know, Tampa is not a great rushing team, and you know, the rush defense has all of a sudden become very big issue for the Titans. Tampa's not going to run it down their throat. You know, their defense is so-so, I think. And we know Baker Mayfield is very much a hot and cold type player. So I don't know. I don't seem I'm not terribly scared. About the Bucks, I think Will Levis made a good showing for himself at Pittsburgh. I think the Titans are going to get their road win here.
Denard Walker, you agree with that?
Coming into this podcast, I was until you start talking about the offensive line being banged up. So I had my mind all made up, and I was going to say, John, I'm going to roll with you about Tennessee winning. It's just going to come down to the play of the offensive line. Can they protect Will? Because defensively, they match up well against this Tampa's offense. I think the front four of Tennessee, Simmons, Tart, Autry, and Landry, are a whole lot better than the Bucks' offensive line. They're not a good running team. They cannot run the football. If you can't, you know Tennessee, they're stingy. So I'm going to go, if the offensive line can hold up, Sonny, I got Tennessee going into Tampa winning their first road game this year.
All right, well, we will see you.